Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You are listening to the Milan Weekly Podcast, the English voice of Radio Rossonera and Milan fans all over the world.
La formazione del Milan! Ecco la fascia di capitano con il numero 13!
Donnarumma and the double! Sensational from him!
Rafael Leao produces a moment of utter magic.
Teo Hernandez, il gol! Teo Hernandez, ancora lui, una meraviglia!
Ibrahimovic! Zlatan Ibrahimovic, fuori classe assoluto!
Cari amici sportivi, welcome to a midweek edition of Milan Weekly Podcast, where we are going to have a very special guest with us this afternoon. For everybody in the Eastern time zone, you've probably finished lunch, a bello piatto di pasta. You all know which pasta I like. And digesting and continuing on your workday. For anybody in Europe and on, I'm pretty sure you're close to either digesting or eating, because we all know in Europe you guys eat at 9, 10 o'clock, so getting ready to eat. So we have this fantastic Milan Weekly Podcast midweek edition with our special guest that I'm going to bring him in right now into the stream, Mr. Asef Ackerman.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Very good. And yourself, Asef?
Those days when we are first position, I have to say great, amazing.
Excellent, excellent. Guys, obviously, it's no secret that Asef is a fan of AC Milan. Guys, I want to just say thank you, Asef, for coming on to Milan Weekly Podcast. I know it's late for you a little bit in Israel, and not late for watching a movie, but late for coming on to a midweek edition of Milan Weekly Podcast. So I thank you very much. We're going to blame Marcello, the presidente, because he screwed up the time zone. It's not on me.
No, that's okay. Everything is okay. No problem. It's an honor to be with you. And you have to know, maybe most of our fans in Europe, some of them after supper, they are right now sitting in their couch, opening the internet and watch with us the podcast.
Excellent. Asef, if you could tell the fans out there who would not know you or don't follow you on Twitter, you are a broadcaster for Israeli sports channel. Sport mm-hmm. 5, kind of like R in Canada, TSN, or America's ESPN, or Europe, yes. Italy Sky. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into broadcasting, because, you know, myself, I admire what you guys do on a daily basis.
I am a broadcaster for like a couple of years. I started in the Israeli sports channel from scratch, from really, really low budget job, and from producing something in the archive, something like that. And then I grew up with the company. My job is to broadcast games. I broadcast the football games, soccer games, and of course basketball, and sometimes volleyball games in Israel. I'm a pundit. I'm a pundit in a lot of shows in Israel, and we talk a lot about football, about Champions League games, Serie A games, French League, also Spanish League, the big European leagues, and sitting them and talking about our AC Milan is fantastic, I have to say. I grew up as a Milan fan, but it was like 1995 when Roberto Baggio played at AC Milan with George Weah, and then I fell in love in this Milan, and that was the first time that I got a computer. And then we had, if you remember the game, FIFA 95 on the computer, And I played all the day with Milan, all the time with Milan, and Wea and Baggio together played, and that was amazing. Then I fell in love in this wonderful team, and I followed them all around the world. And sometimes I got to broadcast the Milan games also. It's kind of rare, I have to say, and it's difficult to hide the emotions, but yeah. I do it. Yeah, but I have to say I speak about all Italian clubs in a professional way. I try to.
Exactly. And you know what, people out there, they're probably, you know, there's a misconception about a broadcaster or, you know, someone who's in the sports industry. Oh, I'd say, you know, I'm pretty sure you love sports. That's why you're there and you enjoy the job. But there is a lot of work behind it, a lot of research, preparation. Can you take us through your preparation for a match? And I'm not going to say Milan because that's going to be another question that I have for you. But your standard preparation for a match, like give some of the fans out there an insight on what's done behind the scenes and not only, oh, I get to broadcast this match, right?
I have to say, if you see a match of 90 minutes, let's say 2 hours match, you can be sure that behind it there is like 5 hours of research and preparations, knowing the players, pronouncing them right. When sometimes you are have to play, to broadcast a game of I don't know, the Red Star, our next opponent, Red Star in the European League, and most of their names in Serbian dialect, and it's hard to pronounce, and you have to know how to do it. You have to know all the players, their numbers by memory. Yeah. You have to know the names right. You have to know the positions, their background. If you have a nice story about the players, also, you know, there are players that have nice stories behind them. You have to know it because you have to bring something new to the audience. They want to listen. They want to know everything about the players, everything about the club. So there's lots of research. I going in also to the newspapers of those countries, again to the Serbian, for example, Serbian websites. It's God bless for Google Translate, and we need it. And I can give you an example of today. Today I was supposed to broadcast a game on the Greek Cup.
Wow.
Between Pas Janina and Panathinaikos. I did my research to the game, of course, in the morning. I came up, I came to the studio, I set up, and then the picture shows that the players are not on the pitch. It's supposed to get on 3 o'clock Israel time. 3:05, still players not on the pitch. And you see a bad pitch, you see rain, you see mud, and you understand that something isn't right. And you start to speak about maybe the position. Then you see the referee game going out from the locker room to check again the pitch, what's happened there. But then he's going into the locker room and nothing happens. Still a long shot from the field, from the stadium, some fans, maybe some, you know, management guys on the pitch and in the stands of the stadium. And okay, what happened? And this is like a real journalism has to come out, because to get into the Greek sites and to understand and to get and also to the Greek Twitter and the newsstands and then to look for what happened with the game. And then after a couple of minutes of research and during that I speak about what happened and maybe that it's not going to happen. And then I get the news live that the game is being postponed. Because the game it cannot be continued. And this is the real job to understand everything, to get everything online, because, you know, it's all live here.
Yeah.
So get into the sites.
And it's important that people understand that too, right? You're not at the game, right? You're commenting from a distance, yeah. Right? So
yes,
we've seen a change because of COVID, where broadcasters and and journalists like yourself need to report and broadcast from a distance. They can't be there.
Most of the games. Also, not in COVID times, most of the games that you broadcast, games from abroad, you broadcast from the studio.
Yeah.
Or only if there are like teams from your country. Let's say, for example, our beloved Serie A, when Atalanta played against Valencia, of course, the broadcasters went to Spain. They broadcast from there. And there were also COVID times in those days. But also when Juventus got to play against Barcelona, they go to Spain. They go. They travel there. They sleep there. And they broadcast from the stadium. And also when Israeli teams doing that, we're also flying to the countries. But most of the games are broadcast from the studio, or it is like, say, quarterfinal, semifinal, and the final of Champions League and European League. So then you're really flying, going to the stadium.
Yeah. I had another question for you, Asif. You know, you brought up something very interesting where, you know, like today, you had to do some research. You mm-hmm. didn't know what was going on with that game. As someone who played soccer or who followed soccer like yourself, you can understand, like you said, you see the condition of the pitch. You don't see any players. You see the ref going back and forth. He's going to probably try to bounce the ball a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
But the viewer needs more, right? So you're trying to look at these Greek websites or whatever team you're broadcasting or commentating on. My question to you is, because times have changed with information and some people post information for monetary reasons, clickbait and mm-hmm. so on and so forth, and there's the actual journalists still applying that trade that I tip my hat to, how do you decipher what's real and what's fake, especially in a language that you don't know?
In this moment, you have to be careful for sure. But you don't give information. Let's say a fan tweeted that the game has been postponed. A fan, any hashtag, the name of the game, you push up on the hashtag and you found it. And you have to be careful. You wait a couple of minutes. You wait that another fan maybe will do it. Maybe another fan, maybe another journalist will do it. And then you give it live. But you also can give, the truth to the fan to say, I am right now on Twitter. And one of the fans tweeted from the stands that the game had been postponed. And you say we don't have official information about it, but one of the fans tweeted it. I don't know if it's true or not. You can say that. Yeah. I think it's nice.
I guess have to be creative. You have to be creative with the information that you're receiving.
I have to say that nowadays there's new journalism, because now the fans – the viewers, they look for something different when they look on television from the broadcaster and also from the commentator. They don't look for me to say that Rafael Leao is 20 years old, he came from Portugal, and he scored 5 goals. Everyone got access to this information. It's quite easy. They look for a story. They look for something different that I give them. I can give them what happened in the locker room during the last week on training, that Rafael Leao, that Zlatan Ibrahimovic took Rafael Leao aside, spoke with him about kicking the ball in the right leg and kick the ball to the corner of the goalkeeper and doing that. And they trained on it almost all week. And you understand? And this is a nice story to the fans. They didn't know about
it. This is something, sorry to cut you off, this is something that nowadays is not, a story like that is not something that I can Google. I cannot Google did they do in the locker room last week. I need that from someone of your profession, right? And you're 100% right when you say, myself as well, I'm looking for that. Some of the commentary, you know, and I don't blame them. Some people have that access and that imagination. Some people don't. I don't need to know that Zlatan Ibrahimovic scored 501 goals. We know. Everybody knows. The world knows.
You can mention that, of course, when you do it and celebrate that. But I don't know, maybe if you have something more than that how Milan are going to celebrate for Zlatan, this is 500 goals. They're going to give him a cup. They're going to give him, I don't know, something else or what he's preparing for that. That's something nice. You have to think about your viewers. You have to think different. They have to give them a thing that they can have access to. And this is my style of broadcasting. Because I'm in Israel, I'm one of the most important journalists, most important pundits for Italian football, for Italian culture. Because every day in the morning, get up and I get into the sites of the Gazzetta, the Corriere dello Sport, Tutto Sport, and I get also to Il Mattino of Napoli, the Il Mattino of Bergamo, and I get
the local local newspapers.
Yes, and of course Twitter, big Twitter's accounts that they are following their teams, and they bring very hardcore news and stories. And I have to say, it's getting more and more familiar, because I have to say, now that Atalanta are doing very well in those days and in the recent couple of years, they have like a very good Twitter account that follow Atalanta and bring very nice stories from the city, from Bergamo, also in English. And for me, as a journalist, that's very important. And for me, I have to say, I think nobody from Israel is following that account. But I follow that because I found it and I bring good stories on it.
Perfect. That's amazing. Asaf, you know, thank you for sharing your career. But now I want to go into your passion. And I think you're like myself. We're gonna go a little bit into Il Diavolo. You mentioned it earlier, but for people that might have joined late, or you know, give us a little bit more detail. Like I can give you how I became a Milan fan. For me, living in a home with my dad who was a Juventino, Milan wasn't really always in front of my eyes there. But I had an aunt who lived in Milano, and she was a nun. And the convent was very close to or near San Siro. So she sent me over almost like a training sweater like this of Milan. And I still have it today, Lotto. I have never seen anybody else have it. And she wrote to me a little message saying that there is a little devil in you and you should be cheering for Milan, right? So
then
it started, right? The red and the black. As for myself as well, you know, I'm a huge fan of Roberto Baggio. I think for me, he's probably one of the greatest Italian footballers. And when he joined Milan, for me, it was soccer paradise, right? I get to watch my favorite team and I get to watch my favorite player every Sunday when I can. Gaming wasn't really for me. I wasn't a real good gamer. I sucked. I'm terrible at gaming. But I played soccer and I enjoyed the sport and I enjoyed the creativity of it. For you, Asif, besides, you know, the Roberto Baggio joining, what hooked you on to Milan? What was that? This is the team that I need to follow. This is the team that I love.
We have to, from the history point of view, in the start of the 90s, Milan became the real big Milan, the Grande Milan. And in those days, she was the bigger... She was a very big club in Italy. And I have to say, you lived in Italy. I live in Israel. For us, we didn't watch Serie A games every week. Maybe one game every week. It's not like in those days that you can watch every day, almost all games. And I remember myself sitting, listening to the Israeli radio that covering the Israeli league. Every week, every Saturday, at the end of the show of the Israeli league, they started reading the results of other leagues. And there was one commentator, one guy, that he was a fan of Milan also. And he all the time, he said, my Milan is going to win, my Milan is going to win. And he said the result. And when he says the result of Milan, it was with so much enthusiasm. Really, it was great. So for me, I remember his voice telling, Milan won 2-1 again, Inter in the derby, yes. And he says lots of things about the game, a lot of things about Milan. And then he continued, Juve won 3-2 against Genoa, Lazio won 2 against Udinese, and the other result. But Milan was something else. So that stuck on me. And of course, gaming, FIFA 95, when Roberto Baggio came to Milan. And like I said, in those days, Milan were great. Milan was champion of Europe. Fabio Capello made the great record of the not losing streak of 53 games. So this is the thing that cut my heart, took my heart. And until today, I remember the first time that I was in San Siro. I remember the first time that I came to Italy and watched Milan game. And I'm still doing it every year, not in the COVID times, but every year, a couple of times, I fly from Israel to Italy, 3 hours flight to Milano to watch Milan. And I know everything about this club.
That's beautiful. That's amazing. I know that, you know, before we got on, guys, we were talking and we were saying, you know, just about the suffering, you know, suffering of Milan fans. Since, let's say, 2011 till now, and still being in love with this crest and this jersey. For me, I would like to know, what do you think about, you know, our journey from 2011 to today has been a very up and down and roller coaster and almost like a soap opera, like C'è posta al sole in Italy, a telenovela, to put it nicely. But now that we've kind of come to a point in Milan, in this Milan, where we have a project, we're looking forward. What is your perspective and what is your opinion on the squad as you see it today?
I think the squad today is very balanced. I think, but you have to understand, as I see it, it's something different, because our squad went through a roller coaster in the mental way when Zlatan Ibrahimovic came, because most of the squad were in the beginning of last year when Marco Giampaolo was the coach. Most of them were there. They played the games, but they looked shit. Sorry for my French.
Here you're allowed to say anything you want.
Yeah. And I think mental thing changed when Pioli came and Zlatan came. I think our squad is very balanced. We are very young team. So this is looking up right now, we are in the top of the table with 2 points. It's amazing. I have to say the truth. Every day that I look on the table of the Italian table, I don't look that our gap from the second place for Inter. I look the gap from the fifth place, because this is the main idea, to be in the Champions League, get back to the Champions League. Our squad is good, because I think Simon Kjaer and Romagnoli are very, very well together. They played great. We have a great goalkeeper. I have to say, we have a very good goalkeeper. I like Gianluigi Donnarumma. Yes, we have problems with him sometimes. We have problems a lot with his agent, Mino Raiola, that also spoke today, a couple of things that we don't like. And Theo Hernandez, of course, maybe I think is the best left defender today in the world. When I see a good purchase, is Bennacer that came to the squad. He was the MVP of the African Championship last time. And of course, we have our great Swedish guy, Ibra, 39 years old, that doesn't stop scoring. He pushed everybody together. You remember when I was very angry about Hakan Çalhanoğlu. I was very angry about him, very, very angry. I didn't like him. I couldn't look on his face when we had bad results like a year ago, because for me he was a symbol to our failure. Every time you look at him when we got a goal, when we concede a goal, every time he's not a leader. Yeah,
the body language was obvious, yeah, with Hakan from, yeah, the beginning.
Yes, and you see what happened with this guy right now. It's a totally different Hakan Çalhanoğlu. This is the Hakan Çalhanoğlu that came from Leverkusen. This is the guy that we waited for. This is the midfielder that we waited for. And it's a change. It's a, you know, 180 degrees change. And you saw the game that he came, the last game he came in against Crotone. He was amazing. This guy enjoying football. This guy has a leg that can assist every second a goal. And we have a very good team, but I have to say sometimes something happened to this team in the last couple of games, because we lost to Inter, we lost to Juventus, we lost to Atalanta. Yes, there are some excuses to Pioli, because they're almost for a month he doesn't have his real 11, his real, yeah, origin 11 on the field. But I hope now everything will be okay for us. You know, the next weekend, this weekend for AC Milan is going to be very, very important, because in this weekend we can do good results.
Exactly.
And also our opponents.
Yeah, we talked about it on Monday with Vinny on Milan Weekly Podcast. And my message to everybody was, please, I hope someone can get this to me. Do not overlook this weekend. This weekend is very important. The derby is the derby. We all know it's a match on its own. It's away from the season. We have one victory in the derby. A result in the derby is very important, because that creates the tiebreaker. But do not skip and overlook Spezia away, because this is there's a lot, yeah, of matchups. If you look at the calendar, that are in our favor, right? In terms of let's say Lazio Inter playing together, you know, I think there's a chance to create a gap that even if we don't get a result, we're still top of the table.
We are supporters of Milan on Saturdays against Spezia and also a little bit for Napoli against Juve.
Exactly.
And on Sunday we are Laziale. Everyone are L'Aquila. We support Lazio till the end on Sunday against Inter. Listen, it's going to be amazing if Lazio will tie Inter and we won against Spezia. And after that, maybe we can take the derby. This is a huge gap. It can make a 3 games gap. It's something on.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting there because, like you said, you know, the negative result against Inter in the Coppa Italia, look, I think that Milan did get outplayed. We did have that little scuffle and that little incident between Ibra and Lukaku. We did go a man down, and in the end, it took a 90 plus minute winner from Eriksen to kick us out of the cup.
Yeah,
the game that bothers me the most, to be very honest with you, and I'll ask you your opinion too. Against Juve, look, we were just down a lot of men. You know, and we were in it with half an hour to go. Did we play fantastic football? No, but we were in it. It was 1-1. And then, you know, Juve's depth and what they can do with the ball, and we cannot neglect that they are a good team, you know, ended up getting the result for them. The game that bothers me the most is the Atalanta game, because I think in the Atalanta game, Milan didn't show any heart, didn't show any willingness to get back into that game, which they have done in the past before going down. The Atalanta game is the one that bothered me the most, to be very honest with you. What about you?
I agree totally with you. Atalanta game was unbearable to watch from the point of view of a Milan fan. That was a total knockout for Atalanta. That was, you saw every in position in the field didn't play, didn't have their heart in the right place, didn't have the game in the right place. But that was a very good lesson to Milan. We had luck that Inter didn't win the game against Udinese, that they draw it. And we got a very good lesson for our next games. We got back our injuries. Benasso is supposed to come back. Kiao is supposed to come back. And I think that was a really mental change also for the team because, yes, we lost to Atalanta, we lost to Inter, and we lost to Juventus. This was a wake-up call for all of our players and our, of course, manager, Stefano Pioli.
Yeah.
And I really hope that we'll get the right conclusions from those games
to
go further. Together. And, yes, it is important for us this weekend to win the game, come to the derby from the first position, from the first place, and try to keep on it. Because I have to say, it's the truth. I think every Milan fan will agree. When we look for the Inter squad and Milan squad, Inter are better. That's truth. Inter are better. They were built for taking the Scudetto this year. We're not. That's the truth. We are in the position to take it, and I hope we will.
Yeah.
Believe me, I will cry live
exactly.
on TV if it will happen. Believe me, for sure. I'm excited. I can't think about it right now. I can't think about it. I'm waiting for the fall to come because all of those last year that we had very bad results, and last year, if you remember, we were 55 minutes in the Champions League until Raja Nainggolan scored a goal against Empoli.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was a moment that I cried also. So I think Inter are better, but still we have something different in the team. We have something different. And you saw it against Crotone. Crotone are okay. This is not our level. But to give them four and to give them one by one and another, we looked for another. I think we played more 10 minutes in the game. We scored another one maybe because the team wanted it.
I think the mentality was different against Crotone. The Milans of the past would have been happy with 1-2-0, and maybe we would have had, I like to call them, an uncomfortable win where it's 2-1. You know, like the Bologna game, for an example.
Bologna, good example.
We dominated that game, and, you know, a Theo Hernandez mistake, taking the ball out from the back, going into the midfield, getting his pocket picked. And unfortunately, we have half an hour to 35 minutes of uncomfortable play because we're 2-1 up against Bologna. I think mentally, were getting away from that, because against Crotone, it wasn't 2-0 wasn't enough. They were going for four, and they were going. On that note, the Crotone game and future games, we have a question here in the chat that I see. I'm not like you, SF. I'm going to mispronounce everybody's name. Everybody who knows me, I mispronounce everybody's name. Unfortunately, that's just for me. I think they expect me to mispronounce people's names. This gentleman here, I'll put it up on the screen. His name is Adriadam Roy. He's like, guys, what are your thoughts on Pioli trying out this so-called super attack consisting of Rebic, Hakan, and Leao? Worth changing now, considering some of performances from Alexis? Thoughts?
Good questions. I have to say that Alexis Salamakers is quite disappointing the last couple of games. He came from his injury not that well. I do like the super attack of Leao, Rebic, and Ibrahimovic, but sometimes I think they are... It's not going too well, because sometimes Leao and Rebic are on the same position. They play like in the same position. We do have Castillejo in the right flank.
Just before you continue there, what I think he's talking about is I think he's talking about lining up everybody behind Ibrahimovic for the super attack. So if we do that, and I get your question, Adriadam, that means you're putting someone out of position. And in this case here, it would probably be Leao playing on the right wing, which I don't think he's comfortable playing on the right wing. And we also talked about that. You know, Leao has played left wing. He's played Hakan Çalhanoğlu's position when Hakan was out. When Ibra was out, he played Ibra's position. We have him at three different positions. And I'm going to ask you this question just because you're so well-versed in the game. Is this something that's negative or positive to Leao's development?
I think it's very positive, because you have to play a couple of positions. You see lots of scorers, lots of players. And we have to understand, as I think, Leao is not number nine. He's not a pure scorer. He's not like, I don't know, Samuel Eto'o, those kind of players that they are, or Ibrahimovic, of course, that he's a pure goal scorer. He's like Carlos Tevez, those kind of positions. And I think it's good that he can play in various positions, but I think his better position is in the Rebic position. Sometimes he can go inside and help with the attack, but I think this is the right place for him on the left. Our main problem, we know that they are in the right wing. I wanted that Florian Thauvin from Marseille will come to our team, because he's a very good player in the right flank. He would help us a lot. And I think maybe he will come in the summer. Yes. He's a very good player. This is our main problem here.
We obviously need an upgrade at right wing. And, you know, I think that would lessen the burden on Calabria, right?
And he's doing a great job.
Exactly. He's doing a great job. You know, but on the left-hand side, what I find is that when we do play Leao on the left-hand side, I find Theo Hernandez really gets exposed.
Yeah.
So we talked about Theo Hernandez and how great he is on the offensive side of the ball. He's obviously, you know, for X number of reasons, Deschamps doesn't call him to the French national team. And, you know, it's an unpopular opinion. It's my personal opinion. I think the lack of his defensive game doesn't get him that full credit of the best. Because I like Theo Hernandez. I don't think he's the best left back in the world, that's for sure. But I think if he would be able to improve his defensive game, and that's not only on him, that's having a good partner on that left-hand side who can help him out, it'll propel him to a much greater status. What do you think?
I agree with you on the partner idea, but I do think that he needs Bennacer and Kessié in the midfield that will help him. If you remember, the last 2 months, we didn't play with those two in the middle, Bennacer and Kessié together. And those are our strongest two players, and they have good communication, because a lot of times when Theo Hernandez go up, Kessié stays there, or Bennacer stays there, they cover him. And of course, he needs good communication with Romagnoli. If you remember at the Derby game, not the Derby game, the game against Juventus, those are, there were our problems, the communication between Romagnoli and Theo Hernandez. Because if you see modern football, modern soccer, the wings are very important. They go up, all out attack, and they help us. They make the advantage in the offense, but we need good two center backs that can cover them, also good defensive midfielder. And I think when Cassie and Benassu play together, it can help him. If he can go out, he can be free.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm not going to do this. I know that usually some people would ask you for your prediction, but can we agree? For me, my prediction on the season and my goal for the season was for Milan to finish in the top four. I just wanted them to get to the Champions League. You know, right now, sitting at the top of the table, I'm enjoying it. I didn't think it was going to last this long. I have to be honest. And, you know, even if we do start to slip, we've collected a lot of points, which is much, much. I think it's 18 points now, more than last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a positive step, but it's very important. Like you said earlier, what I look at when I look at the standing is that gap between fifth and where we are. That's what interests me the most. Anything else, it's all bragging, right? It's me talking to my Inter friends or me talking to my Roma or Napoli friends and having those conversations of who's on top. For you, what was your goal at the beginning, your honest goal at the beginning of the season?
Only being the first four. If you tell me that we are secured in the fourth place, don't start the season for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't start it. Give us number four. Goodbye. You can bring Juve, Inter, Napoli on the first three. Give me number four. Let's go to the next season to the Champions
League. Exactly. Give me number four.
But in this situation right now, we played how many? 21 games already. 21. We played 21 games. You start to dream.
Yeah.
And you start to dream big. We have 2 points gap. I don't know what's going to happen in this weekend for Gods be maybe 5 points or 4 points also. You start dreaming, and I have to say, I'm starting to believe that it is possible, because when I look at it, but I have to say, if we take the championship, it's because Milan were great, amazing, but it's also because Inter failed.
Yes.
And Juventus failed. And you saw at the beginning of the season that Juventus failed big time. They lost a lot of points. This month, they are amazing. They only lost to Inter by knockout, but they are amazing. They're playing amazing under Pirlo in the last month. If Inter will continue to fail and Juventus, we have the seven-point gap.
But they have a game in hand.
It's okay. Yeah, they have a game in hand, and I hope Napoli will do again. Their mission. And if Inter will fail again and Juventus, we have the right to dream, and we have to draw the right to conquer.
Yeah, and that's very well said there, because there comes a certain point where people will start dreaming, and then unfortunately finishing fourth will be a disappointment. For me, I'm the type of guy that I like to manage my expectations. I was not thinking, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that February 11th, we would be on this great podcast with a fantastic guest and we would be talking about Milan being first, I would have signed. I would have said, yeah, sure, no problem. Let's fast forward to February 11th. I know it's very late for you, but I have a couple of more questions for you, okay?
No problem.
They're going to be quick fire questions, you know, like just, you give me your answer, okay?
Okay.
Your favorite Milan player?
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
All time?
No, all time Kaká.
Okay.
For sure.
So you took my other question. All time and today we're on the same page. You're the team that you hate the most in Serie A?
Oh, nice question. The obvious answer will be Inter, but I have to say that Atalanta in the last couple of years, they killed us, yes, and they killed us big time. So I'm starting to hate them. My heart's going to them when they play in the Champions League because they played very good football. It's very nice that they're succeeding.
No. You're too nice. For me, it's over. When you're out, you're out. When you lose, when you're winning 3-0 and Torino catches up to you and ties it 3-3, I'm there. For me, Asif, the thing that Atalanta would change is that, and I agree with you, for me, Atalanta is the team that I'm starting to dislike the most. And hate is a very, very negative word, but people don't understand the context. The dancing, the when they beat us 5-0 and Gasperini was dancing. And I said, this is Milan. We're 7-time Champions League winners. Atalanta, you have 0 trophies. I get that times change, but that much disrespect to a team with that much history, for me, I couldn't digest that. And it stayed with me because we were also lending them the San Siro for the Champions League because their stadium wasn't ready. So I found that very disrespectful on Gasperini's part, and I've taken that to another level now. So we agree with that. I'm going to give some people an insight on you. Asif is very fluent and speaks very well Italian. So I'm pretty sure because he does that, he does eat pasta.
Come on.
Okay.
Of course.
Perfect. So this is my signature question.
Okay.
Penne lisce or penne rigate?
Rigate.
Thank God. Yes, sir. Penne lisce are useless pasta. Goldfish. Asif, I want to thank you very, very much. I know it's very late. I want to give you some time to tell the people about yourself and where they can follow you. For anybody who wants to follow Asif on Twitter, we have his account at the bottom. Where's the camera? At the bottom down there. You'll see it's going to be throughout the whole podcast. I left it there for everybody to see. Tell people about yourself and how they can follow your work.
I have to be honest, most of my writing on social media is in Hebrew because that's my language here. And though this is the main people that I am aiming for, the Israeli audience. But you can come to my Twitter account. I have also a Facebook page in Hebrew called Seria Ackerman. That's my commercial name, I have to say. And I also have this hashtag, Seria Ackerman, that is very big in Israel when we talk about Milan and Italian culture. My Instagram also, Ackerman Asaf, like my Twitter account, you can follow also there to see some pictures of me during work, my stories during work, when I broadcast games, when I go out to the stadiums. And right now to be in a stadium is a very, very nice thing. Not because you want to get out to see a stadium right now, you know, with the COVID thing, you cannot go to the stadiums and only journalists and broadcasters can go to the stadiums. So that's, I have to say, that's quite nice for me to go in. And that's it. Most of my social media.
Perfect. Guys, I want to thank you very much for giving us 45 minutes of your afternoon. It was a pleasure to talk to you. We will talk again. We'll catch up maybe at the end of the season. Guys, follow Milan Weekly Podcast at all our social media accounts. They're all underneath the fantastic little graphic design that was done by Presidente. Continue to support Milan, guys. Ovunque sempre. Forza Milan!
Sempre.